Well, we're going to bow for a word of prayer and we'll commence our message for this morning. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for today. And once again, Lord, we do pray, Father, for that hymn we just sang, Just a Closer Walk with Thee. And we pray, Lord, the Holy Spirit would minister your truth and grace to us today. And Lord, that we not just be hearers of the word only, but doers also. Father, we just love you and thank you for the wonderful God that you are. And just bless this time now in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Message we're looking at this morning is where does a pastor stand? Where does a pastor stand in this day and age? You know, most people want to fit in with the crowd. On the whole, people don't like to be seen as an outcast. There's nothing appealing about not wanting to mix in and go with the flow of things. It's much easier to hop in the boat and be moved by the way the current flows than it is to row or paddle against the current. And yet, as a believer, we're commanded by Christ in Matthew 11:29, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. And Matthew 10:38, and he that taketh not his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. Mark 8:34 says, and when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. Matthew 18:15, moreover, if a brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as a heathen man and as a publican. Now, none of that sits too easy with many people, especially believers. It doesn't win many points in the popularity contest at all. Last week, the challenge was to see is have believers, if we've been leaving anything undone in God's ordained institutions of the home, the government, and the church. And it's undeniable those three areas in our lives demand obedience to God. They demand the utmost attention from the believer. And I asked at the end of that message if the deacons, the Sunday school teachers, the servants, the musicians in the church, to see if they were leaving anything undone. And I asked if I, as a pastor, was leaving anything undone. So where does the pastor stand? How many messages have you heard on the responsibility of a pastor? Think about it. Biblically, what is his part? Well, Jesus commands in Matthew 7:15, beware of false prophets which come unto you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Matthew 16:6, Jesus said unto them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. And down to verse 11, how is it that you do not understand that I spake it not unto you concerning bread, that you should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees? Then understood they how that he bade them not to beware of the leaven of the bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. You know, the first responsibility of a pastor is he is to be obedient to God. If he cannot be obedient to God, then he's going to be a weak pastor. If he neglects his duties, he will be a weak pastor. Jesus, the great shepherd, he is the great shepherd, and there are three main priorities we looked at very shortly last week for a pastor. He does many, but they all must come from three areas, and that's prayer, preaching and teaching the word, and protecting the church to keep peace and unity in the fellowship amongst the believers. Prayer, preach and protect. It's becoming a secondary role, if not an absolute one, and many of the leadership people in Christendom today. You see, it's not popular to give the whole counsel of God in this day we live in, for sure. It wasn't popular when Noah gave it, and it's not popular today either. to be obedient to God has never won too many popularity contests. I was reading this week in the Guardian newspaper, an English paper, and it says the Church of England has set up a new commission for the coming spring, which will be our winter, to consider whether to stop referring to God as He, after the priests, that's the pastors, have asked to be allowed to use gender-neutral terms. Isn't that amazing? Gender-neutral terms. These are pastors who are wanting that. It has to be approved by the synod, but they said they've been looking at this for years. They don't want to develop, they quote, a more inclusive language in our services. Now, the conservative side says that the fact God is called Father can't be substituted by mother or parent, but change they will. Change they will. The Pope just this week made a comment on homosexuality in the Roman Catholic Church. Now, I call it a church, but it's only a church by definition of the word. It's a cult, amen? That's what it is. The Pope said that laws against them were a sin and an injustice. About practicing homosexuality was a sin and injustice. He said these people were children of God and should be welcomed by their churches. That's what he quoted. Now, leaders of Protestant churches, the Archbishop of Canterbury and the Church of Scotland, also denounced the fact that the criminalization of homosexuality. They were on stage with the Pope, the moderator of the Church of Scotland, and the Archbishop of Canterbury, and they agreed with every word he said. Now, all said their churches would not perform same-sex marriage, but the Pope said he supported civil union marriages for them. And they all agreed. Now, charismatic leader here in Australia a few years ago was asked the question, was same-sex relationships wrong? And he replied, quote, sexual intimacy outside the bonds of marriage was wrong. That's all he said. You see, the majority of churches are making no stand at all on anything anymore. They will accept any belief and doctrine. It doesn't matter where you stand. Just come on in. God loves you. I was reading of the Reformed churches this week. They won't deny or comment on anything to do with the rapture or baptism anymore because they all believe different things. The Uniting Church, I looked up their statement of faith. They said on the Bible, our Catholic, Reformed and Evangelical tradition, and they have no mention of the Lord coming in a rapture at all. In fact, it said they follow Old Testament laws concerning diet. And after repentance, one is baptized, and then a person receives the Holy Spirit with the laying on of hands for salvation. And that same-sex relationships, and this is what got me, same-sex relationships are okay because Adam fell and we're now all under grace, and that's just the way people are. That's incredible. Now, today's message isn't on those beliefs. Today's message is on what so-called leaders of churches are saying what God allows now. Where are the pastors who are standing on the Word of God? Where are the men gone who pray and preach and protect God's church? Where are those who have been appointed to be the under-shepherd for Jesus Christ? They're hard to find. They're not popular with the crowd. I've been invited to be on two pastors' internal committees. And every time I've gone there, every denomination has been there, including Catholic priests, all getting together, no biblical separation at all. Nothing. You see, it's not popular to stand for Christ. To stand upon the commands and be obedient to God, and that whether a pastor or a believer in the pew, but stand we must. We must be obedient to God. We must be the standard that the world sees that God stands for. So where does a pastor make his stand? Well, we just got to look into the Word of God to see there were some pretty unpopular pastors. By the way, listen carefully, a good pastor does not go out of his way to be unpopular. Okay, he doesn't rub people the wrong way. Who can I pick on? Linnell will do. Shall I pick on her? What do you reckon, Ivan? Yes, there you go, Linnell. Would you like a real popular pastor or someone with the truth? What would you like, Linnell? Popular pastor or with the truth? What do you want? Truth. Well done. What do you want, Naomi? The truth. What do you want, Michelle? The truth. That's what we want, isn't it? That's what we preach. But the devil wants to get in and start saying, listen, don't listen to the truth. Let's spread a little bit of gossip and get some things going. And let's upset the mix. There's nothing more blessed on this earth than a church of one accord with God. That's a sweet fellowship. You know, God is love, and God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And a popular pastor's got to, the only way he's going to be popular is not to preach the truth. Now Luke 6:22 says, blessed are ye when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company, and shall reproach you, and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Rejoice ye in that day and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven, for in like manner did the fathers unto the prophets. Listen, praise God for the good men out there who want to preach the word and preach it faithfully. But there is no doubt the majority today just want to be popular. They're a band of robbers. And they're the worst they are this side of hell. They are compromising liberals. They are New Age preachers who deny the true gospel and the verbal inspiration of scriptures. And they preach to please people instead of preaching the word as God has put it forth in his word. Hell will be hotter for those preachers than the ordinary sinner who sat and listened to a social gospel, and the Bible is very clear, there'll be preachers in hell. 2 Corinthians 11:13, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it's no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as ministers of righteousness. And listen to this, whose end shall be according to their works. You see, God has called his preachers and the devil has called his. And many place the blame, listen carefully, many place the blame for the way the world is today on alcohol, on drugs, on rock music, on Hollywood, on TikTok. I didn't know what people were talking about. I thought they were talking about watches, but now I find out it's a terrible thing. On TikTok and all this sort of stuff. But the true blame lays at the feet of compromising, backslapping, yellow-bellied people who want to preach what people want to hear. That's why the world's in a mess. No one's standing for the true standards of God. Whether it's in denominations or independent churches who are not as independent as they like to think they are, but they won't preach the truth. Many know the truth, but let's not rock the boat. Let's not hurt people's feelings. God forbid we would do that. Salvation is offered to all regardless of what a person practices. The gospel's to be preached to all. I understand that. Hate preaching is wrong. I looked up some hate preachers and the top two were Fred Phelps, if you ever heard of him, he's a nightmare, and Steve Anderson. So far from the message of the gospel. They hate people and want to see people damned. That's terrible. they preach to please people at the opposite end of the list, but that's a message for another day. Today we're looking at those who stand in well with the world. And then I was come across an old study I did many years ago about some prominent Bible preachers. And the same theme kept coming up as I read about these men. They weren't very popular. They didn't have many invites to the pastor's fellowship meetings. They lived in a time long ago, but man's nature is still the same today as it was then. Men just want to know, what can I be excited about? What excites you? You see, people want to be excited about something, and the men we're going to look at today were excited, but they weren't popular. First, we've got Enoch. He wasn't a very popular preacher. I was reading about him this week, Genesis 5:24, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. The only one walking with poor old Enoch was God. Isn't that amazing? He was a second coming preacher of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's who he was. In Jude verses 14 and 15, Enoch, also the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, "Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them of their ungodly deeds, which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches, which ungodly sinners have spoken against him." Listen, he's only the seventh from Adam. And he believed Jesus was going to come for his saints and with his saints. And he's coming in judgment when he comes back again to this earth. You see, Enoch believed in the rapture and the return of Jesus with the saints to judge the ungodly. Praise God. How long is it since you heard a message on the return of the Lord? Well, we had one 2 weeks ago. If we'd been in Enoch's church, we would have heard them. Some churches never hear about it. Never. Since we came to the Gold Coast, I was counting back on the messages that we've preached in the church, and there's around about 22 in 3 years. That's not too bad. 6 or 7 a year. Pre-tribulation rapture, pre-millennial return of Christ. There are people who have never heard one. Never. They have no idea. The reason so many preachers won't preach about it is the fact they know nothing about it. Maybe they need to be saved, amen? That's it, 2 Corinthians 11:13 again, the devil's disciples. Titus 2:11 tells us, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Saviour, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee." You see, these modern day preachers can't preach that because they're preaching all the good. They're preaching everyone's a son of God, that everyone is going to go to heaven. They've believed the lie and they preach the lie. Born-again preachers should want to preach the blessed hope of the Lord Jesus Christ. Second, we've got Noah. I don't think many would have liked the title of his message, "Doomsday's Coming." That was the title of his message. He wouldn't have been invited to too many church picnics. In fact, they thought Noah was a sandwich short of a picnic, amen? The people who refused to listen to him, though, had their picnic washed right out. Noah was a working, listening, and warning preacher. He listened to God, he worked on God's project, and he warned the people. Preaching, praying, protecting. His church wasn't big, not what you call a growing church. He wouldn't have been approved by the Rick Warrens of this world with the church growth movement. But we read in Hebrews 11:7, the roll call of faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became the heir of righteousness, which is by faith. Can you imagine, just think for a moment with me, those poor souls of Noah's day, what they're saying today? They're still in hell today. Can you imagine when the boat lifted, the people scratching at the doors, trying to get in? He was right. Oh no, what he said was true. Too late. They didn't listen. Doesn't seem to matter to Noah what man said about him. He just continued on doing what God wanted him to do. Noah preached what God told him to preach. And that's what the man of God who is in a pulpit is supposed to do. Preach what God says. And no man can preach God's word without preaching judgment. God is love, 1 John 4:8. But God's also a consuming fire, Hebrews 12:9. And Noah had to stand alone, and he did. He believed what God said, and Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Thirdly, we have Joseph. I love the title of his message, The Evil Acts of the Brethren. That won a few friends, amen? He's a type of Christ, but his message wasn't very popular. We can't have that sort of message now, can we? Genesis 37:2, these are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren, and the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and with the sons of Zilpah and his father's wives. And look what it says, and Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. As a pastor, I can assure you, listen carefully, the knives of the brethren go in a lot deeper than Satan's arrows. Joseph wouldn't have gotten far in today's world of preaching. You know, today we say, oh, you can't speak against the brethren. Doesn't matter what they do. Doesn't matter what they say. This is the day of brotherly love. Let's join hands. Let's just all have fellowship. Let's bring in the liberals. Let's bring in the New Agers, who care little about the doctrine or the commands of our obedience. Let's just all hold hands. Or you might be able to change them. No, you won't. The opposite will happen. That's the devil's way since he became the devil. You see, God has always forbidden his servants to rub shoulders with the devil's lot. 2 Corinthians 6:17 says, wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Now, Bible reading this morning, 2 Timothy 4, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time shall come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. That's the modern liberal church today, brothers and sisters. With men in pulpits not prepared to preach the truth. Not prepared to say like Joseph, hey, listen to their evil report. Ephesians 5:11 says, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them, for it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. Romans 16:17, now I beseech you, brethren, Paul's talking to the people, mark them which causes divisions. All these little people running around trying to cause trouble amongst the church. Oh, I've been upset. This pastor, he said something and I'm so upset. Let's say something about him. Let's talk about him. Mark them which cause divisions and offences contrary to the what? Doctrine. If it's not the same doctrine, mark them. If they start to talk about false doctrine, mark them. And it says, and avoid them. That's a command from God that many don't want to follow. Because, oh, let's just hold hands. It doesn't really matter. Anybody can take part in anything. That's a lie of the devil. It cost Joseph heaps to stand against the evil brethren, but it paid off big time in the end. You read the story of his life. And he's not the only one or the last one to become unpopular through preaching such messages as the evil of the brethren. Many a dear pastor has been crucified because they took a stand against the evil of the brethren, the gossip and the lies and the deceit, the slander. And the brethren are fooled. Oh, those people wouldn't do that. They're good people. Let's look for the good. But that's not what Jesus preached. John 2:25, you know why he didn't preach that? John 2:25, for he knew what was in man. Number four, Moses. He didn't have a very good message either. Let my people go. Come out from bondage. Listen, there are plenty from Pharaoh's lineage around today. I'm talking about preachers who are trying to keep God's people in bondage. You don't have to go to Rome to find a pope, brothers and sisters. Some preachers won't do anything unless a word comes from their headquarters. Pity those preachers who count the cost and go and join the denomination for a sweet pay packet, and then they're told how to do it, what to do it, and when to do it. Here's Moses' text, Exodus 8:1. And the Lord spoke unto the Moses. Moses, listen to what God said. Go unto Pharaoh and say unto him, thus saith the Lord, let my people go that they may serve me. Listen, some good people don't have time to serve God today. They're too wrapped up in programs. I have no problem with things being done decently and in order. They should be. But most of the day's programs should be just shelved. If we claim to be Christians, then we need to name the name of Christ. Then we need to, as the Lord said, go into the highways, into the byways, and compel them to come in that my house may be filled. You see, and the world is going to hell while people sit around discussing the programs on how to reach people. Oh, the blessed committee meeting, amen. The Bible tells us the way of the cross leads home. We are to give ourselves to the Lord. Then we go where dying men and women and children are, and we give them the message that Christ was crucified and rose from the dead. And there are church folk all over the world today in bondage to denominations or under the headship of some pastor who's nothing but a tyrant, just like Israel was to Pharaoh. You see, there are many who follow the message of a man. They follow the man and they're afraid to let Christ set them free. We had an astounding thing happen in our church once many years ago. A lady brought her young son. She wanted him to come to Sunday school. She'd heard about the kids club. She wanted him to come to Sunday school. She'd a former drug addict. She had a very, very hard life. She came in that Sunday morning, sat down and got saved and was at the church for years. I'd never seen it before. Just off the street. And she was faithful and her children were growing in the Lord. And she had a hard family. Her older children were followed the same path she did. And she brought her mum along to church. She says, "Mum, this church is totally different to your church. Come and have a look." And her mum come for quite a while and her mum got saved. And she was coming to our church for a while. Then the priest knocked on the door and said, "Hey, unless you come back, your friends can't see you anymore." Isn't that terrible? Under bondage. We preach how loyal we are to be to God's institution of the church last week, and we are, but not if that church is putting you in bondage, brothers and sisters. You don't have to. Grace and liberty are to be preached, not a license to sin, but grace and liberty in Christ is what is to be preached. Moses preached liberty for God's people. Many of them were killed. Many had hurt feelings. But you know what God's response to Moses was? Deuteronomy 34:5. So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab according to the word of the Lord, and he buried him in the valley of the land of Moab, over against Beth Peor, but no man knoweth of his sepulchre unto this day. The he in that verse is God. God conducted Moses' funeral. And when a pastor stands for grace and liberty, it costs, and it costs dearly, but he must stand for what God says. Number five, we have Nathan. The title of his message was, "Thou Art the Man." He didn't preach just to anybody. He preached to King David. He wasn't well liked with that message, but he got his man. That message wasn't popular in that day, and it's even less popular today. Preachers aren't supposed to point the finger at anyone anymore. God forbid you'd even name them. How upset these poor little things would be. Nathan preached a searing sermon that was easily understood. He said to David, "Thou art the man." Didn't matter who the man was, big or small, he preached the message that God gave to him. 2 Samuel 12:7, Nathan said to David, "Thou art the man. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel." And listen to this, "I anointed thee king over Israel and delivered thee out of the hand of Saul. I gave thee thy master's house and thy master's wives into thy bosom and gave thee the house of Israel and Judah. And if that had been too little, I would moreover have given unto thee such and such things. Wherefore hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight? Thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword and hast taken his wife to be thy wife and hast slain him with the sword of the children of Ammon. Now therefore the sword shall never depart from thy house, because thou hast despised me and taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will raise up evil against thee out of thy own house, and I will take thy wives from before thy eyes and give them unto thy neighbour, and he shall lie with thy wives in the sight of this son. For thou didst secretly, but I will do this thing before Israel, all Israel, and before the sun." Thou art the man. That's a searing sermon. Woe to the preacher who does not preach the message just as the Lord gives it to him. God, give us more preachers in our land who will first listen to God for the message and then deliver the message the way God gives it. And that message is found in the Word of God. And I have to wonder sometimes what sort of God people are believing in. I really do. Number six, we got Elijah. He was a popular title too. Look out, false prophets. He won't get an invite to the mayor's prayer breakfast, not a second time anyway. They would class him as a cloudy day preacher. No sunshine in his message. James 5:17, Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. Do you know, look at all these preachers calling on the God, calling on the Lord to bless our country. You see it all the time. They're just calling out, Lord, bless our country. Elijah didn't pray that. Why didn't he pray it? Because he knew God couldn't bless the country until the people repented. How can God bless Australia if we don't repent, come to our senses and confess our sins? And listen, it needs to start in the pulpit if it's ever going to hope to reach the pew. All these preachers preaching everything's all right, doesn't matter how you live. We all sin. God knows that. He loves you anyway. Don't worry, you'll be fine on Judgment Day. False prophets. Then there's the swindlers telling you you can pay your way to heaven or work your way to heaven. Well, speaking in tongues is a sure sign that you're saved. Seen a good one the other. I couldn't believe it. They talked about, they call it grave soaking. I thought they were watering the plots, you know what I mean? But they're not. You know what they do? They lay on top of the graves of pastors and evangelists, soaking up the bit of the Holy Spirit that's trapped inside them. Isn't that amazing? False prophets. It's funny for us to hear it, but it's not really funny for those people who believe it. Elijah wasn't popular, but he could preach. Read 1 Kings 17. Micaiah, he's number 7, his message, it was a beauty. Liars in the pulpit. I didn't like that one very much. 2 Chronicles 18:24, now therefore, behold, the Lord hath put a lying spirit in the mouth of these prophets, and the Lord has spoken evil against thee. You know, Micaiah, he would be called someone, oh look, he doesn't speak very well, he gets his words muddled up, he's a bit unlearned, he needs to go back to Bible college and learn how to express himself a little bit better. That's how he would have been told to go. You're a bit rough around the edges. You need to get a better understanding of the brethren. Don't upset them. Don't upset them, whatever you do. There are plenty of ministers who are liars. We've already looked at them, 2 Corinthians 11. And this is what the devil tries to do, you see. He tries to work from within. He tries to get into the pulpit, and sadly to say, he's gotten into many of them. But if he can't get into the pulpit, what he'll try and do is make the people in the pew think the true godly man in the pulpit is the devil. That's what he tries to do. He tries to get the backbiting going. If you want to know the truth, just go and see someone. Ask them. You see, he had no trouble, Micaiah, calling out the liars. And his story's in 2 Chronicles 18. But do you know what they did? They slapped him on the cheek and put him in jail. Think about who else that happened to. But he couldn't be bought no matter what the price was. You know, I knew people who were on fire for God. They looked the part. They played the part. I've prayed together with them. I went to Bible college together with many of them. But they weren't prepared in the end to pay the price. They finished their trades, went off and got their degrees, had a future. They don't pray and they don't preach anymore. Some of them have left their wives for other women with 5 children behind, in both marriages that I know of. But Micaiah wouldn't sell out for his God. He wasn't for sale. He'd rather go to jail than sell out his Lord. Now, number eight, this is the last one for this message. You can't even get to the Lord or Paul or Peter. Well, they're another day. But Jeremiah, his message, he had a popular title, "Look Out, Judgment's Coming." Jeremiah 29, it says to us, "Then I said, I will not make mention of him or speak of him any more, but his word was in my heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones." Now, he's known as the weeping prophet. He wept over the sins of God's people, but that weeping came with a fire in his bones. Do you know, he got his degree to preach from God. Jeremiah 1:8, "Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, Behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. See, I have this day set over thee the nations and over the kingdoms to root out and to pull down, to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant. And they shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee. For I am with thee, saith the Lord, to deliver thee." You see, Jeremiah's message was, God's message to him was, "Be not afraid." That was his degree in preaching. Listen, Jeremiah wouldn't find too many church systems employing him, I can tell you now. Every sermon was judgment or backsliding. That would have got the gossips going, amen? That would have got the backstabbers' knives out. It would have got the lying lips all puckered up. No fillers needed for that lot. They would have said, "Oh, this Jeremiah, he's starting to sound like a broken record. He's preaching the same old things. He must be in a rut." You know, a lot of preachers do a lot of work to try and bring a new sermon for every Sunday. But in most churches, that's not what's needed. The same one needs to be preached over and over and over if it's the gospel. Because the majority of people pay little attention to the sermon at all. And many do nothing about it if they do hear a little bit about what's preached anyhow. That's why pastors need to preach and preach and hammer out the message until a little bit of the Word of God soaks in. And that pastor's not very popular with the people, but he is with the Lord, and what else matters? Do you know what they did with that firebrand preacher? Jeremiah 38:6, "Then they took Jeremiah and cast him into the dungeon of Malchiah, the son of Hamalek. There was in the court of the prison, and they let Jeremiah down with cords. And in the dungeon there was no water, but mire, so Jeremiah sunk in the mire." Can you imagine this slush that's in there? No water at all, it's just mire. Now when it came time to get him out, if you remember the scriptures, they put chains down with cloths on the chain. Why the cloths? Because the mire would strip the skin off people. So when they had to pull him out, they didn't want his arms to be stripped of all its skin, so they sent cloths down so he could be lifted out. They put him in a miry pit, but God got him out. Wouldn't you rather be in a pit for God's glory than on the pedestal with these compromising pack of, what can I call them, weak-kneed, gutless liberals who just swing to the music of this age? You know, we need to be praying for churches of a like faith, praying for men who weep and whose hearts are broken over the sins of their people and are prepared with God's fire in their belly to bring the truth to their churches. But tears and fire are not popular in the day of liberal Christianity. So where does a pastor stand? Well, he stands for the good of God's people if he's a pastor at all. He needs to uncompromisingly stand with God and deliver God's message, God's way, to the glory of God with a fire in his belly to preach the truth of the gospel to pray for the people of God and to protect them against the false prophets and liars preaching the devil's message today. That's where a pastor stands. What sort of pastor do you want? What sort of pastor do you listen to? Are the devils getting into your ears? Is the gossip floating around in your hearts? Are you listening to lies? Where do you stand? Where does the pastor stand? He stands with the Lord. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word to us today. Very simple. But Lord, we're living in a day where we can see false prophets abounding. Liberal churches not offering the gospel, the true gospel of Jesus Christ anymore. Where a stand for the real truth makes a person unpopular. But if we need to be unpopular, then that's what we need to be for your name's sake. And we pray, Lord, as a church, that we encourage one another not to go out of our way to be unpopular, but to just preach the truth, to stand firm on the doctrine once delivered to the saints, and to preach it today like it was preached in the days of Noah and Enoch and Joseph and Jeremiah and Elijah and Nathan. Preach it like Paul and Peter and Jesus preached, with grace and liberty, but an understanding that you are a holy, holy, holy God, and we need to be obedient because that's where our blessings lay. And when we are, all the consequences of our obedience belong to you. Oh, what a wonderful place for them to be. And may you bless our church, Lord. Help us to remain strong, to keep out the whispers of the devil, and to understand, Lord, that we have commands from you that we are to follow, and that we do it together in one accord to the glory of your name. These things we pray in the precious name of our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave his blood for us to have the privilege to be here today. And we pray this in his name. Amen.